B'siyata d'shmaya, we're going to learn Sukkah Daf Lamed. We're going to start on Daf Chof Tes Amud Beis, in the middle of the Amud, a new Mishnah, a new Perek. Says the Mishnah, and the first two Prokim in Masechah Sukkah, we were discussing the Halachas of Sukkah, Yeshiva Sukkah, etc. And now we're moving to the next mitzvah of the Yom Tov of Sukkos, which is known as the Arba Minim, the four species that we take, the Lulav, the Estrig, the Hadassim, and the Aravos, and the many Halachas that apply to them. Says the Mishnah, we're going to start with lulav. Lulav, hagozel, if somebody has a lulav which is stolen, he's trying to do the mitzvah of using a stolen lulav on Sukkos. Vayovish, or if it's a dried lulav, posel, then the lulav is posel. And Rashi explains here the reason that a stolen lulav is posel is because it says in the pasuk, velokachtem lochem, bayom rishon, that it has to belong to you. And we'll see in the Gemara that even on the second day and on from Yom Tov, that the mitzvah of taking lulav is only a rabbinical one, and we wouldn't have the pasuk of lochem. However, there's other reasons that would invalidate using such a lulav even for the rest of Yom Tov, based on a rule of mitzvah baba avera, that doing a mitzvah that involved or that could only have been done in this case by transgressing an avera is an invalid mitzvah. A dry lulav, says Rashi, because a mitzvah needs to be beautiful. We learn it out from Zeh Keli Va'anvehu. And to have a dried lulav is not beautiful. Says Rashi, says the Mishnah further, Shel Ashero v'shel Ir Hanidachas, using in a lulav that came from, that was Avodah Zorah, that they used it to serve Avodah Zorah, or an Ir Hanidachas, which is a city that was seduced into idol worship, and everything in that city is, one's not allowed to have any benefit from that city. One has to burn everything in that city. So this lulav has to be burnt. Anything that's burnt is perceived and halachically perceived as if it's already burnt. If it's burnt, it's just like ashes, and ashes does not have any size. And we know that lulav has a minimum size, and anything that one has to burn in and itself has no size. That's what Rashi says here in the Mishnah, and therefore posel, such a lulav is posel. Continues the Mishnah, Niktam Roishoi, if the head of the lulav is cut off, then, and Rashi says here, this is, it's not beautiful, it's not nice to use such a lulav for a mitzvah, or Nifritzu Alav, or if the leaves have been, the leaves of the lulav have been torn off the spine of the lulav, and now they're only connected to the lulav because you've tied them, you've done an external act of tying them together, then again, this is not a nice lulav. Then posel, and such a lulav is posel. Nifridu alav, if the leaves are indeed still attached to the spine, however, the tops of the leaves have very much spread out to the sides, and it looks now like branches of a tree, kosher, the Tanakhamas say it's still a kosher lulav. Rabbi Yehuda says, Ya'agdenu milamalo, you should tie the tops of the leaves, the parts of the leaves that have separated themselves from the spine. They haven't been detached from the spine, they've just like opened up. Tie them back together. Together, they should be lying on the spine, like other lulavim that have not yet opened, and then it's kosher. Continues the Gemara, the Mishnah, Tzinehara Barazel, those lulavim that grow, those date palms, which is from which lulavim are taken, of the Hara Barazel, and we're going to learn about that kshera is their kosher, even though their leaves are relatively short, and it's not like a typical lulav where the leaves start at the bottom and they're relatively long, and each leaf starts within the area of the lower leaf, and they're well covered, they cover each other, they cover the spine of the lulav well. That would be a regular lulav. Tzinehara Barazel, the leaves are very, very short, and nonetheless, kshera is those lulavim are kosher, and we'll see in the Gemara under which conditions. The final statement in the Mishnah, lulav sheyesh bo shloisha tfochim, a lulav that is three tfochim long, kedei lena'anea boy, and in order to be able to do na'anua, which is to move or to shake the lulav in the six directions that one needs to shake it to perform the mitzvah in the most proper way, then a lulav has to have three tfachim in order to be able to shake it. kosher, then it's kosher. And we're going to see, we're going to discuss in the Gemara, does this mean three tefachim plus a tefach to be menanea? We'll see that in the Gemara. And the Gemara is actually going to say that everybody agrees that the lulav has to be at least four tefachim long, because you need the three tefachim, which is the same minimum length for the hadassim and the aravos as well. Just you need another tefach lenanea, and there's going to be a discussion: do you need a fourth tefach of spine, or is it sufficient if the fourth tefach are the leaves that even protrude beyond the spine? Because the uppermost leaves that protrude, that come out, that are attached to the highest most point in the on the spine of the lulav, they continue going up beyond the spine. Can those leaves be included in this tefach or not? It's something we're going to see in the Gemara. But if it has three tefachim plus a tefach for shaking, kosher, that's the minimum size of a lulav, and then it's kosher. Says the Gemara, Kaposik v'toni, the Mishnah that says that a lulav that was dry and stolen, the first statement in the Mishnah, lulav agozel v'yovesh posel, it's just a very, no strings attached. It's posel. Kaposik v'toni, loishno b'yom tev rishin, loishno b'yom tev sheni. The Gemara, the Mishnah doesn't say to us that it's only posel. On the first day, as we said before, the mitzvah of taking the lulav, the arba minim, the lulav, let's call it the lulav, on the first day of Yom Tov is a mitzvah and a chiyuv min ha-Torah, a biblical requirement, but the other days it's only a rabbinical one. The Mishnah makes no difference here. The Mishnah doesn't tell us only the first day. It says lulav agozel v'yovish is posel, seems to be right through Yom Tov. The Gemara is asking, bishleim yovish, this, the issue of a dry lulav, now I can understand, hodor b'inon, v'leka, it needs to be a nice lulav, it doesn't matter whether it's the first day, which is min ha-Torah, it doesn't matter if it's the other days, because the chiyuv midrabbanon is a zeicher le-migdosh, it's there to remind us of the mitzvah that was done min ha-Torah in the Beis HaMikdosh. Because in the Beis HaMikdosh, taking the lulav all 7 days was a biblical mitzvah. It was a chiyuv for 7 days. It's only outside the Beis HaMikdosh that it's only a chiyuv min ha-Torah 1 day. And this, the rest of the sukkahs that we take the arba minim, is zeicher le-migdosh. It's got to be done similar to the way it was done in the Beis HaMikdosh. And there needs to be a hidur mitzvah. Zeh keli ve'anveyu. Do mitzvahs beautifully. So I can understand that v'leka, since it's not beautiful to use a dry lulav over the whole Yom Tov, it's possible the whole of Yom Tov, even the second day and on. Ela gozel, however, regarding a stolen lulav, to bishleim a Yom Tov rishon, the first day of Sukkot, I can understand why you should have an issue with that. Tichsiv lochem, it says in the posuk, ulekachtem lochem b'yom rishon, creates hodor, etc. That you should take the arba minim on the first day. It should be lochem, it should be mishelochem. It should belong to you, it should be yours. We saw this already on Daf Chav Zayin Amud Beis. Elo b'yom tov sheni, but the second day of Yom Tov and till the end of Yom Tov, amai loy, why are you not yoitza with a lulav that was stolen? You're not allowed to steal. But if you have a stolen lulav, why would that stop you using it to do the mitzvah of arba minim? Lochem is only on the first day. V'lokachtem lochem b'yoyim orishoin, that on the first day it has to belong to you. And the rest of Yom Tov, it's not a chiyuv min ha-Torah to take a lulav outside the Beis HaMikdosh. Says the Gemara, Omer Rabbi Yochanan Mishum Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai Mishum Dehavalei Mitzvah Habo Ba'Aveira. A new concept that there's something called a mitzvah that you could only do this mitzvah via the fact that you did an Aveira. A mitzvah Habo Ba'Aveira is possible. It's an invalid mitzvah. Where do we know this concept from, that a mitzvah Habo Ba'Aveira is possible? Shenemar, we learn it from a pasuk by Korbonis. It says in the pasuk, "Va'amartem hinei matlo v'ipachtem oisoi omar Hashem tzvokis v'heivesem gozul." You're going to bring, if you bring a korban, an animal which is stolen, v'es hapiseach, or a lame animal, v'es hachoyle, or a sick animal, v'veisem es hamincho, ha'erze oisom yetchem omar Hashem. Says Malachi, will I be appeased? Will I want you to bring korbonis that are stolen or lame or sick? And so what do we see from here? The pasuk compares and writes gozel, stolen, together with lame. Gozel, dumya de piseach. There are obviously some similarity between them. Ma piseach, in the same way as a lame animal, lesle takanta, it's permanently going to be invalid for a korban because it has a fixed and permanent blemish. Afgozel, so too, a stolen korban, a stolen animal, lesli takanta, even after a while, even after the owners are miyayish. We know there's a concept which we'll learn about much more in later on in Shas and Baba Kama, but there's a concept where a person, it gives up. He almost verbalizes and says, Vaili lechisoron kis, I'm giving up ever receiving this item back. It's lost, it's stolen, it's gone. It's good, it's as good as gone. So even after a while, even after you've heard the person who this item was stolen from, this animal was stolen from, even if you hear him saying, that's it, this is never, I'm never going to see this again, and at that point it's as if he's given up ownership on it, it's a concept called yush, then even though regarding other halachas after yush, it's possible for the person to actually acquire it as if it's now being acquired from an ownerless, from Hefka. However, regarding the Mizbeach, no. You cannot bring a korban which was stolen. That's what we learn from this pasuk. Lo yishnot lifnei yush, irrespective of whether it's before the owner was miyayish, had given up ever getting it back. Lo yishnot l'achay yush, irrespective of whether he's already been miyayish. That's what it means, even l'achar zman, even forever. It's not a kosher korban. And the Gemara is going to explain. Bishleim lifnei yush, before the person is miyayish, that means this animal still belongs to him, to the person it was stolen from. And now the thief, the person who stole it, is not more than got somebody else's animal in his hands. Then we can understand that the korban should be pasul. It says, Odom ki yakriv mikem omar rachmon. It says in the parasha of the korbonis, bring a korban from mikem, from yours. This is not yours, it's his. V'lavdi dehu, it's not yours. Elo la'achayush. But even after he's already given up hope of ever getting this back. And we said before that gozul lesli takanta, there's no, even in the long-term future, you can never use it as a korban, which means even after he's been nisyayish. Why? How can you be yush? As soon as the original owner gives up hope of ever getting it back, then the person who stole it has been coined, he's acquired it. It's as if this animal no longer has an owner. So he becomes the owner. Why can he not use it for a korban? Elolav, it must be mishum dahavale mitzvah babavira. Because it's all fine and good that you've acquired it and you have ownership on it, but you only have ownership on it because you did an avera. You stole it. And since it's a stolen animal, then you permanently are not allowed to use it for a mitzvah, even though it's now yours. Even though as far as mikem is concerned, odom ki akriv mikem, as far as the financial point of view, it's yours. And nonetheless, since it was acquired via an avera, it's a mitzvah babavera, you cannot use it. And the same way as a korban, a mitzvah habobavera is an invalid korban, so too a lulav hagozel, a mitzvah babavera, is posel all 7 days. Continues the Gemara of Omer B'Yechanon Mishum Rav Shimon Ben Yochai, Maidichsiv. It says the pasuk in Yeshaya, ki ani Hashem oyhev mishpot, I love justice, soine gozel b'oilo, and I hate when people steal b'oilo to bring a korban oilo. Moshel, this is analogous lemelech bos of Adam, to a regular king, a mortal king, shaya oivir al beis hameches, he was passing by the toll booth. Omar Lavodov, he said to his slaves, Tenu meches lemoichsim, and give the taxes to the tax collectors. Omru lo, so his servant said to the king, Vale kol ha-meches kulei shelchohu, where are these taxes all going? They're all coming to your coffers, it's all yours. What, you're going to pay taxes? Omar lehem, he said to them, Mimeni yilmudu, I want everybody to learn from me. Kol oivrei drochim, all the people that are going along the roads here. Velo yavrichu atzwa min ha-meches, they will not avoid and escape paying the taxes. Af HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so to speak, Hashem says, Omar Hashem, Ani soine gozel gezel bo'ilo. I hate it when korbonos are brought with stolen money. Mimeni yilmadu, from the fact that I hate it, even though it's my money, everything's coming back to me, everything was always mine, everything is always mine. And nonetheless, I've verbally stated, says Hashem, via the Novi in Yeshaya, that I hate theft. Soine gezel bo'ilo, mimeni yilmudu bonai, my sons, my Klal Yisrael will learn from me, v'yavrichu atzmon, they'll run away, min hagezel, from stealing. And this is a source that mitzvah haba ba'avira is invalid. Continues the Gemara, Itmar Nami. We also learned again, as we saw before, Rabbi Yochanan said that even on the second day and on, a lulav hagozul is possible because of mitzvah habab avera. Omer Rav Ami also said that yovish possible. The reason that a dry lulav is possible, mishum she'ene hador, it's not beautiful. Gozul nami regarding a stolen lulav, a stolen lulav is possible mishum davale mitzvah habab avera, as Rabbi Yochanan said before, that mitzvah habab avera is a reason to make this lulav possible. Rav Ami says the same. Continues the Gemara. Upliga de Rabbi Yitzchok. It seems that Rabbi Yitzchok is arguing with Rabbi Yochanan and Rav Ami. Domer Rabbi Yitzchok bar Nachmeini Oma Shmuel. It was said in the name of Shmuel. Lo yishonu ela b'yom tov rishon. When do we say that gozul is possible only on the first day of Yom Tov? Because on the first day of Yom Tov, it says, ulekachtem lochem b'yom rishon. On the first day, you have a biblical requirement to take a lulav and make sure it's yours. Avil b'yom tov sheni, but on the second day of Yom Tov, where it's only a rabbinical requirement to take the lulav, mitoich she yoytze b'shol, in the same way as you can be yoytze on the second day with a borrowed lulav, because, and everybody agrees with that, a borrowed lulav on the second day, it doesn't say lochem, it's not a mitzvah habab avera. Everybody agrees you can use a borrowed lulav on the second day, yoytze nami begozel. You can also be yoytze the mitzvah of lulav with a stolen lulav from the second day of Yom Tov and on. Mosav of Nachman Bar Yitzchok. Of Nachman Bar Yitzchok is now asking a question against what we just saw in the name of Shmuel. Rabbi Yitzchok told us in the name of Shmuel that the second day of Yom Tov, Shaul, a borrowed lulav is muta, and so too, a stolen lulav, one can be yitzchok the mitzvah. And we're going to ask a question from this, from our Mishnah. It says in the Mishnah, lulav ha-gozul va-yovish posel, that a dry or stolen lulav is possible to be used on Yom Tov. And let's try and understand, when is the Mishnah talking about? So before we're understanding when the Mishnah is talking about, from the fact the Mishnah only says that gozel is possible and doesn't say that shaul, even a borrowed lulav, is possible, we can deduce from the Mishnah that gozel is possible, ha shaul, but a borrowed lulav is kosher. And now let's understand, when are we talking about? Amos, when is this? Ilema b'yom tov rishon. Is it talking about the first day of Yom Tov? Hoksiv lochem. It says in the pasuk, ulekachtem lochem b'yom rishon. Mishel lochem, it has to be yours. The same pasuk that says you cannot use a stolen lulav on the first day also says you cannot use a borrowed lulav on the first day. V'hai lavdi dehu. A borrowed lulav, it's not yours. It's not lochem. You can't be yotze the mitzvah on the first day of Yom Tov with that. Elo lav, it must be b'yom tov sheni. That our Mishnah is talking about the second day of Yom Tov and on. Uktoni gozul posel. And it says in the Mishnah, gozul is posel. So what do we see from here? That mitzvah habab avera passels the lulav. So how can you, Shmuel, say that in the same way as shaul is mutar, so too gozul is mutar? Gozul is not mutar. The Mishnah says explicitly gozul is passel. Answers the Gemara, Rav Omar, la'olam b'yom tov rishon. It could well be that the Mishnah is actually talking about the first day of Yom Tov. V'loy miboy koma. Don't deduce from the Mishnah that only lulav, which is gozul, is possible, but a borrowed lulav is kosher, and then you're saying it must be that it's not talking about the first day. No, it's talking about the first day. And there's actually more reason to allow a person to use a stolen lulav than to use a borrowed lulav. And therefore, the Mishnah is impressing on us that even a stolen lulav is possible. It's not called lochem. That means there's reason to believe that a stolen lulav could be lochem. A borrowed lulav is definitely not lochem. A stolen lulav maybe is lochem. How? Lo mi boy a shoal. That we can take for granted that a borrowed lulav de lav didehu is not, doesn't belong to him. You cannot use it on the first day. Avil gozul, but a stolen lulav ema, we can assume stam gezela yush bailimhu. That stam gezela, which means that if somebody steals something from somebody else, even though we did not hear that the original owners had given up ever getting it back, which is a concept called yush, even though we didn't hear him being miyayish, we can assume that he's nisyayish, because he saw us stealing it, and he's got no strength to fight this person off. The lulav is gone, it's been stolen. So you can see that the owner saw the lulav being stolen. He saw that he can't fight off the robber, the thief. So he's definitely going to give up. And therefore, if he gives up, then the thief himself is koina, putting aside mitzvah bob aveira, that Shmuel doesn't hold as an issue here. And so it's called lochem. That I may have thought it's kosher. And it's considered as if it belongs to the person that stole it. Kumash Malon, the Mishnah, is coming to tell us that no, that until you actually heard him expressing explicitly, I've given up ever getting this lulav, then it's yush. Once it had been a yush, then it belongs to him. And then besides for the issue of mitzvah bar aveira, there's no issues of lochem. But all the while he hasn't verbally expressed his giving up hope of getting it back, we do not assume he's given up. Why not? You can see it's been stolen. You can see that you can't fight him off. Why is that not as good as saying, I give up? And Rashi explains, because this person is thinking to himself, don't worry, today he's stronger than me, but tomorrow I'll catch him on the corner, I'll take him to Beis Din, I'll already get my lulav back. So this person is not really giving up hope, unless you hear him explicitly giving up hope. And if he's not giving up hope, then he hasn't given up ownership. It's still his. If it's still his, there's a lack of lochem, and that's why it's possible. So that's what the Mishnah is coming to impress on us. And according to Shmuel, it must be the Mishnah is talking about on the first day, because Shmuel doesn't hold of the issue of mitzvah bar aveira. He says explicitly that on the second day and on, where there's no issue of lochem, in the same way as you can use a borrowed lulav, everyone agrees with that, you can also use a stolen lulav. That is what that's how we have to read the Mishnah according to Shmuel. Omalu Rav Huna, continues the Gemara, Rav Huna said lahani avankri, to these merchants, and he said to them as follows, kizavnitu asa me'akum, when you're going to buy hadasim from goyim, you don't be the ones to cut the hadasim off the hadasim tree. Let the sellers, the goyim who are selling you the hadasim, they should cut the hadasim off the tree. And then they should sell it to you. My tama, why would this be necessary? Says the Gemara, because tam oivdei kechovim gazlina arasaninu. Because we can take it for granted and there is such a stoma that a goy who's got land, and this goy has land, he's got his hadasim trees there, this land is actually been stolen from a yid. It belongs to Yisrael. V'karka eino nigzeles. Rav Huna is now assuming that land, property in and of its own, is not something you can actually steal. It's not like movable objects that you can take it away. No. It's karka, it's land, and you cannot steal it. Which means even if you throw the owners out of the property and you take over the property, it hasn't become yours. You haven't acquired it. The land still belongs to the original owners, even if the owner gives up. It doesn't matter. It's as if the land is actually still belonging to the original owners. And it's only when you cut something off the land, in this case the hadasim, or it could be a number of other cases, when you turn something on that property from being attached to the ground to being detached from the ground, the moment you detach it from the ground, at that point you're actually doing the geneva. That is when you're stealing. And since the owners have already been nisyayish, that may be true, they've been nisyayish. Just if karka eino nigzeles, then halachically speaking, the land itself is not, you cannot steal land, so yush is a non-factor. And Rav Huna was telling them that the fact that it's being cut off, now it's the gezela is happening, don't make sure that you are not those who are doing gezela. Because if you do the gezela, this will not be kosher hadasim for you. And there's a number of ways of understanding that. Either Rav Huna holds yush kadi loikoni, which means that if the only thing that's happened is that the original owners have given up ever getting this stolen item back, it's not good enough that you could to say that you are koina it. And you can only be koina, you can only acquire this stolen object, providing there's been yush, only if there's also been shinui rishus, for example, if it's changed hands yet again, or even if you do hold yush as koina, that you can acquire it after yush, but nonetheless there is an element of mitzvah bob aveira, that you have this hadasim in your hand because of an aveira that was done. When you cut those hadasim, that's when you actually did an act of stealing, and it's a mitzvah bob aveira and you're not yotza. And therefore, Rav Huna told them, you don't cut the hadasim. Who's going to cut them? Hilkoch l'gzazur inhu. The goyim, they should cut them. Keheicha delehavi yiush bailim biyodayhu didhu. In order that in their hands they would have stolen it, and the yiush, which was the owners gave up a long time ago, when will that happen? When will that make a difference? Now, when they cut it, when it's in the hands of the goyim still, it's not in your hands. And then when they're going to sell it to you, now you have an added advantage of shinui reshus. It's now after yush, the goy has stolen it by cutting it. Now, there's also a shinui reshus. He's selling it to you, he's changing hands, biyodaychu in your hands, and then yush and shinui reshus, you're definitely koina. You are not the ones that did the stealing. There's no issue of mitzvah bar avera. And therefore, and then you will be able to use these hadasim for sukkos. Asks the Gemara, soif, ki gozazu avankri, lehavi yush bailim biyodayu. Even if these merchants themselves would do the act of cutting the hadasim, then the yush will happen in their domain. V'shinu yarushus biyodam, and when they sell it, because these are just merchants, they're not using these hadasim themselves, they're going to sell it to somebody else. So the people are going to buy it. And the buyers, it's already a change of hands. So what will be the issue? These buyers are not the ones that cut it, and these buyers are not the ones in whose reshus the yush happened. They didn't steal it. And so what's the issue? Says the Gemara, loit. Rav Huna was trying to say that you're right, if you're going to sell these hadasim to other people, then it will be okay. The problem is that if you, the merchants themselves, want to use these hadasim, if they are the ones who are cutting the hadasim down, then there'll be an issue that you haven't got shinui reshus. You did the stealing. If you did the stealing, then there's no shinui reshus after this. Yush is not koina. And if there is koina, then you've got a mitzvah bar avera, you won't be able to use it. So for you merchants yourselves to be able to use these hadasim, it must be that somebody else stole it, that somebody else cut it down and then sold it to you. Make sure the goyim do the cutting of the hadasim. Asks the Gemara, v'liknuya b'shinui maisa. So it's true, shinui reshus, a change of hands, won't help in the event that the merchants themselves, if they cut it down and they want to use these hadasim for their own arba minim, will have an issue. But there's another way that you can be koina without shinui bailim, without shinui reshus, without changing of hands, and that's if you change the object that you're actually stolen. So then you've got yiush and shinui maisa, you've done an act to change it, then you're koina. So the Gemara is saying, why did Rav Huna tell the merchants, get somebody else to cut it? And then there's a shinui reshus. You cut it yourself, then, and there's a shinui maisa. What's the shinui maisa? Because we know that in order to be able to use the hadasim, you actually have to tie it into a bundle together with the lulav and the aravos. So the very fact that you're taking these stolen hadasim and tying them, you're doing an act to them, it's now not the same hadasim as the original hadasim, and therefore it will be kasha, yush and shinui maisa. Answers the Gemara, kosova lulav ein tzarech eged. Obviously Rav Huna holds that it's not a mandatory, it's not essential that you actually tie the three species together, the lulav, hadasim and aravos, since you don't have to tie them. Even if you do tie them, it's not considered a significant activity, a significant act, and it's not considered a shinui maisa. V'im tim tzolei man, even if you're going to suggest that Rav Huna says lulav tzorech eged, that you do need to tie the lulav with the hadasim together, it's not considered a significant act to that together with the yiush you'll be koina, because shinui achoze lebriasehu, it's a type of an activity, it's a type of a change that is not long lasting, it's so easy to undo. You can just, in the same way as you tied it, you can just untie it, and the hadasim are exactly the way they were at the beginning. You haven't changed the hadasim by doing something to them. Since you haven't changed them, then it doesn't help that you've done something to them, and you only have yiush without the shinui reshus. And the Rav Huna says, if you have yiush without shinui reshus, there'll be an issue, either because yiush is not koina, or mitzvah bar avera. Asks the Gemara, and the Gemara says, "V'shinui achoze lebriaso leishme shinui, that a type of a change which is can be easily undone is not considered a shinui." Asks the Gemara, "V'liknuya b'shinui Hashem." So we've discussed shinui reshus, change of hands. We've discussed shinui maisa, changing the object. But there's a third concept, Shinui Hashem, when it changes its name. If after you've stolen something and after Yush, it changes its name, again, you've acquired it. It's yours. Demikora Havale Asa. Over here, there's a Shinui Hashem. It changes its name. Because beforehand, before you tied it into the bundle, it's called Asa. It's called a Hadas. It's called just a simple Hadas leaf, branch. Vahashta, but now that you've tied it into the lulav, Hoishan, it's not called Hadas, it's called Hoishano. And so, and the reason it's called Hoishano is because it's used, we use it on lulav. When we say Hoishano, then we are holding the lulav. So it's a Shinui Hashem. Yush and Shinui Hashem is Kaina. Says the Gemara, no. Mikora nami le'asa Hoishano korule. Even before you tie the lulav, before you tie the hadas into the lulav, even before you cut it down, this hadas was always called a hadas of Hoishana, a lulav appropriate hadas. And therefore it didn't change its name when you tied it. It always was associated to the lulav, it didn't change its name, and therefore you don't have Yush and Shinui Hashem. If you don't have Yush and Shinui Hashem, you're not Kaina. And therefore we've now understood why Rav Huna told the merchants, make sure that the goyim cut it down, and when they sell it to you, it will be a Shinui Rishus, and once it's Shinui Rishus, you're Kaina, and you can use them. And Yemir Tashem, in the next shir, we're going to continue from here.